Hello and welcome to Car Dealer Live. I'm James Baggett. I'm the editor of Car Dealer Magazine. And today we're talking used cars and digital disruptors and the likes of Cazoo and Cinch. So joining me to discuss this are two guests. Firstly, we have Ejaz Ahmed, BEM, British Empire Medal. He founded the UK's first £1 billion internet company, FreeServe, which was sold 3 years after launch for 1.65 billion. He now specializes in digital disruption across many industries. Good morning, Ejaz, how are you?
Good morning, I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to the debate.
Thank you ever so much for joining us from Pakistan today. So we've got an internet connection that we hope is gonna last. We've also got Peter Smythe, he's director of Swansway Garages, a successful family franchise car dealer group based in the Northwest, which represents brands including Audi, Jaguar, Land Rover, and Volkswagen. Peter, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, James. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you. So welcome to you both. Now, recently, Ejaz wrote a blog exclusively for Car Dealer about the used car digital disruptors. In that, he warned that the likes of Cazoo and Cinch are set to steal car dealers' customers if they're not careful. He said car dealers should stop using stupid arguments. He said not to change and should embrace the new way of selling cars. He warned that these digital disruptors could kill off the traditional car dealers, just like Amazon has done for much of the high street. His blog attracted a lot of interest on our website, many car dealers arguing that they've actually already made some of those changes and are fighting back. Peter, I'm sure you've got lots of comments about this, but we're going to start with Ejaz. Ejaz, what made you want to write this piece about car dealers? I seem to remember we discussed you had a bit of an experience that spurred you into it.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I actually wrote the blog was because I wanted to buy a car. And I went around various dealers and I found the experience very poor. And then I obviously heard about Cinch and Cazoo and people like that. And I found the websites much better than the websites on the traditional car dealers. So that's why I wrote the blog.
So what was, in your mind, the problem with those car dealer websites that you actually encountered at first?
Well, the first thing is that I wrote about disruption. And if car dealers don't change, they're going to disappear like lots of other industries have as well. And I think a lot of people misunderstand what I mean by disruption. We've got new players in the market, and the first thing they've done is to create new brands. When I look at car dealers, a lot of them sound like law firms. They've never changed the brands that they've got. Then the experience of walking into a car dealership is the same as it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. Then we'll look at the websites. They're very poor. They use platforms that are very old, not fit for purpose. And when you compare them with the new players, they're just not as good as they should be. And I don't think that the established players, the ones that have been there for many, many years, are doing anything to actually fight back.
And what do you, so you mentioned there that some of the names, some of these dealership names are very old and traditional and have been in a lot of families for a long period of time. Swansway Group in particular is one of them. What do you think are the problems with those names and why does it matter?
Why does it matter? I think the problem is that people love their names. Law firms, for example, have got names that don't, people can't remember, they can't spell them. I've worked with a law firm for many years and they took over another law firm. And the name of the law firm was Barber Titlis. And the people that were in the law firm were in love with their name. But can you imagine saying to someone, I got divorced and the firm that I used was Barber Titlis. And if you look at Swansway, for instance, they've got a domain name, excluding the .com, that's got 15 characters in it. Now, if you're someone that's never heard of Swansway, you're not going to recall or be able to spell something that's that long. Whereas a name like Cinch or Cazoo, you'll be able to recall that name and spell it. So if you talk to someone about a great experience that you've had, you'll be able to, I bought my car from Cinch. And it's as simple as that. And brands have got to have great recall. They've got to be something that you can spell, and you've got to be able to go to without having to think about it. So a traditional car dealer should think about the names of the companies and rebrand and reposition themselves as an opportunity to rename the company.
Let's let Peter come in on that one. Peter, are you going to change the name of your business anytime soon?
No, we're not. But no, we're not. And yes, we are. I mean, the fact of the matter is, as we already have, from our used car perspective, we're called Motormatch. And we have been now for the last 4 years. I actually would take issue with the way that people think about buying a used car. I know that the likes of Cinch and Kazam and Kazoo all have sort of like nice, sort of like snappy sounding names. But I believe that when people go to market or they think about purchasing a used car, let's just take used cars because new cars are something completely different. They actually think of the OEM, the brand, first of all. In other words, I think I'd like a BMW. I think I'd like a Mercedes-Benz, et cetera, et cetera. And then I think that what they then do, they then research the car that they want rather than the brand. I understand why the disruptors are investing the money that they're investing to try and break into the marketplace. But we've recognised that, yes, you're right, Swansway is quite old-fashioned and fuddy-duddy. Most of our businesses trade as Crewe Audi, Stoke Audi, Stafford Audi. Swansway is just the holding company. But if you look at our used cars, our unbranded used cars, which is where the likes of Kazoo, the likes of Cinch, that's the arena they're in, our brand is Motormatch. Which is reasonably snappy, Peter.
Right. Okay.
So let me ask you a question, Peter. Do you think the likes of Kazoo are going to kill off traditional car dealers?
I think we've got to be very careful because I read Ajaz's article with interest, and I think a lot of what he says is absolutely correct. But what I would say is this, and obviously you don't know of Motormatch, Ajaz, so I think after this, and obviously we haven't spent an awful lot of money on promoting that brand, but I suggest that you actually go and take a look at our Motormatch website, and you will see that it is, I believe, better than the likes of Kazoo, better than the likes of Cinch, and better than the likes of Kazam, by the way we present our vehicles through a video format. So I strongly recommend that you do that. I think we've got to be very careful. If you take the three disruptors, if you take Cinch, Kazoo, and Kazam, I think that by far and away the ones that the motor trade fear most are Cinch. And the reason being is, they have got good supply of used cars through BCA, because obviously it's Constellation, WeBuyAnyCar.com, which acquired 600,000 cars last year. And obviously now Avro Palmer-Baunach is going to take Marshall Motor Holdings into private ownership. That is a real threat to us. She's also, and she's an extremely clever woman, she's also bought a 20% share in Lookers, which basically renders that business unsaleable to the likes of Kazoo. Kazoo, on the other hand, I think will wither on the vine. You only got to look at its share price this morning at $2.93, which means that the business that was once valued at £7 billion is now valued at £1.7 billion. And I think that the investors are realising that actually Kazoo is not an internet-based business, as they have had to buy more traditional places. And their major problem, and it's going to be, it's undoubtedly going to be exacerbated by world events as we speak. They're not going to get the supply of vehicles. So if you just run the numbers, Cazoo currently have 6,038 cars on their website. 400 of them are cars that they are the cars that are sort of like Drover and Cluno. So they've got 5,600 cars on the website. They plan this year to sell 110,000 used cars in the UK, which means that they will have to have a 20 times stock turn. If you actually have a look at their prospectus, they actually say that their days to sale are going to be about 80, which is a 4 and a bit times stock turn. So the figures don't add up.
It's that we Peter, we'll come on to that share price in a moment, because I would like to ask some questions about that. But I just, you make an interesting point there about Cinch being one of the ones that the motor trade should be watching. Absolutely. Ajaz, which one do you think the motor trade should be watching, and which one would you be backing?
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to respond to some of the things that have just been said there. Yes, I do know about the other brand, because I went to your website. It's actually quite difficult to find. Also, I looked at the brand and looked at the website as well. And I believe it's using a platform called GeForce. Is that correct?
Just at this moment in time, although in May, we're actually changing. We're moving away from GeForces.
Right, okay. Which is, and your website's 4 years old as well. Is that correct? 2017. And the platform that you've got is not fit for purpose at the moment. You need to change it to another platform. But the problem is most people in the motor industry don't understand technology. So I can understand the people going to something and buying the wrong product on the wrong platform. Also, the arguments that you make are the same arguments that I've heard since I got into the internet industry. Everyone's using the same arguments. And in the article that I wrote about one company, which is Morrisons. Yeah. And they said virtually the same thing, which is not what people want. The people want to touch and feel the actual products. And they, the result was they didn't actually get into the internet industry, sorry, the home shopping industry till much, much later. The other thing that I've heard since the beginning of the internet is people come up with arguments like you've done, you've read things, perspectives and so forth, and facts and figures. But the simple truth is that they win in the end. So FreeServe, for instance, when we launched FreeServe, the first thing the BBC did was they went to the actual incumbent, which was America Online, AOL. And they said to AOL, what do you think about this new startup? And they said, it's not what people want. Now, it is what people wanted. It just took a bit longer for people to actually take the trade over. Now, our share price went up to £9 billion. And then once it got up to £9 billion, it went down. But in the end, we sold it to France Telecom for £1.6 billion 3 years after we launched. So we did quite well out of it. So it's no point looking at the share price or anything like that. Now, in answer to the question, what's my favorite side? I looked at all of them, and the one that I liked the most was Cinch, because they say very little, and what they do say, it's direct and it's easy to understand. I like the way they display their cars as well. It's beautiful. They've got great professional lighting. They've got professional cameras as well. And it's easy to find whatever you want. Now, if you want to know what the best e-commerce site is outside of Amazon and eBay, it's probably Screwfix. And you know what you should do is probably get one of your people to set them a challenge to find something, and within 3 clicks, they'll find whatever they're looking for. And you should do the same with a site like Cinch as well. It's so easy to find things. I looked at Cinch and I chose a car. I chose an Audi A1, and it looked beautiful. And you know, retail is all about attention to detail, and you're a retailer whether you like it or not. Absolutely. And if you look at an Audi A1 on there, if you look at the boot, you can actually see everything in the boot. Now, one of the disruptors If you look at the Audi A1 on there, the boot looks dark. Mm-hmm. So car dealers need to change and act more like retailers, mm-hmm. the big supermarkets and things like that, and make their products so easy to find and so easy to look at as well. And it's as simple as that. You've got to copy people. There's nothing wrong with copying people.
I totally agree with you, and I haven't said for a minute that selling cars online is not what people want. Obviously, it is what people want, but I mean, I believe that our website is just, you may agree or you may disagree, it's just as user-friendly.
I disagree.
Yeah, okay.
And I disagree.
You're the professional in that space, and obviously I'd be silly to ignore that out of hand. But the fact that I am actually on prepared to have this debate should tell you that actually I am interested. I do realise it's the way forward, and we are developing and evolving and changing to keep up with these disruptors. Because, yeah, you're absolutely right. If we don't change, absolutely, they will steal a march on us. But I think you've also got to understand that the motor trade is quite a resilient bunch of people, because we've worked on very low margins for a very, very long time. And I believe that if the likes of Cazoo have, and it's all subjective, a better website than Motormatch or Swan's Way, we will undoubtedly change with the times. And I'll take on board, and I'll look after this meeting, and I'll look to see what Screwfix do.
Let me ask the question about the fact that you run a traditional car dealership group that clearly engages with customers online. You must see that there are benefits to having dealerships. And I think that some people who look at our industry from the outside don't realise quite how important that is. I mean, especially when it comes to new products like electric cars, they need explaining. People want their hands held throughout that buying process. Do you think those car dealerships are going to last for the long term? Or do you think they will be phased out by the likes of these new digital disruptors or the agency models that are just around the corner?
I think that the car dealership will last, but there will be less of them. And I think that will probably be an effect made by the OEM rather than the disruptors. I think there will be less of them, but, you know, people do, and it's been proven, do like to do their research online, but they also feel comforted by the fact that they do have some redress by being able to go back to a dealership if anything goes wrong. Interestingly, yeah. I was just seeing that one of the least reliable cars and the most problematical cars from a customer's perspective is Tesla. And that was in a rival publication that came out today, because the purchase journey of Tesla is obviously very good. It's the way that they go to market. But when you've got an issue, you haven't got anywhere to go back to be helped out. And I think that is where we, as a physical dealer, can forge still that good relationship with the customer.
Yeah, absolutely. Ajaz, I mean, what are your take on a traditional dealership? I mean, if you were launching a car dealership business now, be that online or physical, how would you do it differently?
Okay, so, I mean, can I respond to that? First of all, in my article, I said that car dealers have got an advantage over pure play retailers, and they need to take advantage of that and maybe come up with a hybrid model, something that they can do that people like Cinch and Cazoo can't do. And that's what they should be working on. And one of the things that they can do that people like Cinch can't do is take advantage of the forecourts. But the forecourts that they've got haven't changed. They need to make the experience a better experience. They need to have points of sale. So for instance, as I said, I actually wrote this blog after I went to buy a car. And I still haven't bought that car, by the way, because when I walk around the dealer, there's very little point of sale. Point of sale is the thing that tells me what the car is, what the price is, what the different options are. All you see is the car. I went to an Audi garage, for instance, and I saw something about that big, an A4 piece of paper. I've got no idea what it said because it was at knee level. And I wear glasses to read, and I didn't have my glasses with me. It's obvious, you know, you need to have something at chest level or eye level so I can read it. There's about four or five different options for that car. There was nothing to tell me what the options were. There's no logical order in the way that the cars are arranged in a forecourt or inside. So they need to learn from traditional retailers and copy that, but they need to create hybrid models as well. So one of the things car dealers need is a very good website like Cinch, but they've also got the advantage of having something that people can go touch and feel and talk to people about. So they need to take advantage of that and maybe create a hybrid model. If I bought a car dealership tomorrow, I'd do that.
Peter, I mean, if we look back at the changes the automotive industry has made since the start of the pandemic, this omni-channel retailing, as it's been dubbed, it's happening, and it's happening now, isn't it? I mean, you must have made some significant changes, especially during those lockdowns, to allow you to continue to do business. Do you think you've already made the changes that Ajaz mentioned?
No, I think we're on the journey. And as far as the I think they're called the mushrooms, Ajaz, that you went to in the Audi showroom. They're as big a frustration to me as they probably were to you.
Why can't you change them?
Because the brand won't allow us to do that, because we're a franchise dealer and we would invoke our franchise standards. And it's something of it's something that the brand feel is better. Personally, I think that, you know, you need to be about 3'6" to be able to read those the information on those little pods. And I would agree with you. And sometimes, as the holder of a franchise, we are bound and constrained by the OEM as to how we can display our cars in the showroom, which I don't disagree with you. I think that we could have more snazzy part point of sale, but we're sort of like we're hamstrung by the OEM in that case. I think we're well on the journey, but Ajaz makes a very, very valid point. This is something that is a moving feast all the time, and certainly the likes of Swansway, we are looking at what the competition, with regard to be that Kazam, be that Kazoo, be that Cinch, you're doing. I was only on the Cinch website the other day, and I like the way that they structured the photographs. And you're right, being operated by somebody like G-Forces can be restrictive in that in that arena. So yeah, I take on board what you say, Ajaz.
Peter, do you think the car industry has been given a wake-up call by the likes of Kazoo?
Yeah, I do. I think that they've been given a wake-up call by Kazoo. I think that Mr. Chesterman is a disruptor. He's obviously done his level best to agitate us, and he certainly succeeded in doing that. Whether he will be the final winner, I am not sure about. If I was a betting man, a bit like Ajaz, I'd put my money on Cinch. But it is a 9 million. It is a 9 million market. So I think there's room for all of us at this moment in time.
Ajaz, I'd just like to come back to a point that Peter made earlier about the share price. I mean, Kazoo's share price has absolutely plummeted since they listed via an SPAC on the New York Stock Exchange. They've lost 66% since they launched, and they're down 26% in the last 5 days alone. Surely this means that investors have lost faith in their model. I mean, what would you think to that?
I think there's some very smart people out there who buy at the right time, sell, take the profit. And car dealers, I'm going to give this message. Car dealers need to stop looking at the share price and focus on what they need to do to change, because I've heard these arguments many, many times. So focus on the things that you need to do to change and just copy other people. If you like the way they take photographs, copy it. If you like the way they arrange the information, copy it. Obviously, don't make it look exactly like theirs, but learn from them and take advantage of the assets that they've got.
Ajaz, do you think customers want to buy cars online?
It's a very interesting question, because it depends on the age of the customer. Now, I won't buy clothes online, but my daughters, they'll buy clothes online. And they get regular deliveries of clothes online. And people my age probably would be scared of buying clothes online. And I think that is the important question. But the older people probably won't want to buy cars online, but the younger people, yes, they will. Because they've touched, they've sat inside a friend's car or something like that. So they don't need to do anything. All they need to do is just buy it. And the new disruptive players allow them to do it a lot better than the incumbents. We've got poor websites. So why not? And it doesn't matter whether they buy the car from a car dealer who's in Aberdeen or someone in Devon. If the experience is good and they can find it and it's the right price, they'll just buy it, because it's going to be delivered to your house. And if you don't like it, you can return it within 7 days and things like that. If they visit a website of a dealership and it's very poor, to find what you want, the photographs look awful, poor name, it's not going to help the master as well.
Peter, same question to you. Do you think customers want to buy cars online?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that was proved during the lockdowns. They want to buy... They do want to buy cars online. And, I don't think it's just young people who want to buy cars online. I think young and old. I think the analogy with clothing, I mean, funnily enough, I know Mahmood Kamani from Boohoo. And the difference is, and I know you're going to say, well, you're going down that old route again, but it's about supply. Used cars are a traded commodity that you can liquidate in the same way you can a share, or you can any type of commodity. And there is a finite supply of it. That is the area where Cazoo will be most challenged, getting supply in the market. The fact that Sinch have gone into the arena of the car retail dealership, which has been a very, very shrewd move on behalf of that company. They will actually open the supply lines with the manufacturers. And I think that's a very, very shrewd move indeed. Whether then the manufacturers choose to do business with Constellation, and at this moment in time, looks like they are, is another debate.
One of the things that you should maybe think about, Amazon opened retail stores as well, selling groceries. But the next thing they did was they supplied their technology to other retailers. Mm. And that's something that people like Sinch could do.
Yeah.
Ajaz, final closing comments from yourself. I mean, what would you like to say to car dealers listening to this?
I would say stop making arguments, because lots of other people have made the same arguments in different industries, and change. Come up with a plan to change. It's as simple as that. And the simplest way of doing that is go to other car dealerships and pretend to buy a car. It's not a great experience.
Peter,
I've still got my money in my pocket. I haven't spent it.
No, I'm sure Peter will sell you an Audi after this conversation, Peter.
Well, but... you know what? I want to buy an Audi.
Right. Okay. Well, then you need to get James to give you my number. I'll deal with you personally, which is the difference between online and dealing with somebody like me. You'll get the personal touch.
Peter.
Well, I've got your email address. If you give me a good discount, I might call you.
Yeah, I don't know about that in this in this environment, but anyway, that's another argument.
Right, you could do your negotiations after this, Peter. Final point from you. Final point from you. What would your point be on this? And it's sticking up for the motor trade.
Sticking up for the motor trade. I think we're a resilient bunch of people. And, you know, I listen very intently to what Ajaz has to say. Obviously, he comes from an IT background. And I think I and motor dealers would be stupid to ignore his warning. And I heed his warning and I take it on board. And it's down to me and the rest of the trade to react to that. But we still hold the cards from a supply perspective at the moment. And I think you're right. We do need to change. I hear what you say about the nomenclature. And it's something I've got to say I've never really considered in the past. But I wouldn't dismiss anything. And I think a lot of car dealers would feel the same way.
Thank you very much.
Can I just one point? Can I just make?
Go for it.
I am not from an IT background. I'm a retailer, believe it or not. I can't build a website. I understand technology.
Yeah.
I understand what you can and can't do with technology. But I'm a retailer. I know how to sell product. It doesn't matter what the product is.
Okay.
That's the key.
Thank you very much to both of you for being good sports and coming on and discussing this topic. Absolutely fascinating. For those of you who want to go and find Ajaz's blog on our website, head to cardealermagazine.co.uk and put in Ajaz's name and you'll find it. For more Car Dealer Live like this one, you can check out our YouTube channel, where we've recently published a special investigation into used cars, why they went up, and looking at how long those high prices can last. And for the latest news, log on to cardealermagazine.co.uk for daily headlines. Thanks ever so much for joining us. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.